You're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 37. Hey, welcome to season two. Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. Hello, hello. Welcome to season two of the Zen Courses Show. Listen, I am super excited to be talking to you and setting up an entirely new season of the podcast. At the end of season one, well, it's been two and a half, maybe 3 months since the end of season one, at the end of the summer. And I don't know about you, but the summer got crazy pretty quickly for me. So it was nice to just have a chance to regroup. So what's been going on? What have you been doing for the past 3 months? I know for me, I had a chance to do some traveling, went out to California, went to Canada, got some beach time here in the great city of Chicago, went to some concerts, and just kind of did my thing. But the other thing that I did, it wasn't all fun and games. I also took some time to think about strategy and the future for Zen Courses. If you're subscribed to my mailing list, you already know a little bit about that. The main thing I wanted to do this year, when I launched the podcast as well as the Zen Courses blog, was to really connect with you and learn more about what you were struggling with as a solo online course creator. And really get to know the challenges and struggles and try to provide some solutions, at least a little bit of relief to let you know that you weren't alone in that. And I feel like we did that. I feel like we got to know each other and we had some great opportunities to connect. There were workshops, webinars, of course, this podcast. And I also did some coaching. And I still do consulting with my consulting business. But that was primarily the way that I connected with you. So I wanted to really put some thought around that and ask, is that the best way to serve you? And when I thought about it, I realized that there's, at least I feel, that there's so much more that I can do. And so I needed to take some time to just think about the ways in which I wanted to serve you. I'm happy to say that the podcast is still one of those ways. I'm still super excited about interviewing course creators and sharing their stories and strategies with you to help you beat online course overwhelm. However, there are some new things coming up. So before we get into the new things for the show, on zencourses.co, on the website, you're going to see some changes there as well. The first and foremost, I get a lot of questions asking, you know, about products that I have for sale. Like I said, primarily this past year, I focused on doing anything that would get me in front of you. So workshops, webinars, things of that nature. Well, coming up, you're going to see more self-paced courses. So for those of you who really enjoy learning in a self-paced environment, you can look forward to seeing more self-paced courses, but the big thing that you're going to see is just different ways to engage with me, regardless of where you are in your online course journey. So the first course that's out right now is specifically for people who are starting out with online courses who might need some help just figuring out how to plan and get started creating their course. And that course is called Jumpstart Your Course. You can check it out at jumpstartyourcourse.com. And it's essentially a checklist guide for your course. So it's going to walk you through how to pick a topic, validate the topic, set your course goal, outline your course, and begin creating your content. So if those are things that you struggle with, head over to jumpstartyourcourse.com and check out the course. That's one of the first new things that is coming up, and you're going to see more self-paced courses coming from me on the blog. Okay, so that's what's coming up on the blog, but we're listening to the podcast. And on the podcast, there's some new stuff, new and exciting stuff coming up as well. So the first thing, let's get into the little things. They're little, but they're big. So the first thing is starting, I'm fingers crossed, starting the next episode, starting episode 2 of season 2. Well, technically, that's going to be episode 38. You're going to hear a whole new sound on the Zen Courses show. That's right. I have upgraded my entire audio system and equipment setup for the show. So I wanted to have a bolder, warmer sound. So stay tuned for that. You're going to hear a new sound. That's all I'm going to say about it. You're going to hear a new sound for the Zen Courses show. And I can't wait. I'm kind of becoming a gearhead, but I can't wait to share it with you. The other thing that's minor, small but big, is you will see a new look. You're going to see a new logo and new cover art for the podcast and all of that good stuff. So stay tuned for that as well. So those are the minor things. The big announcement for season 2 is I wanted to do something different this season. You know, when I started saying, okay, it's time to kick season 2 off, I just felt like, okay, it's got to be something different. Got to do something different. How can I serve you guys better? And the thing that immediately came up was to incorporate your voice into the show somehow. So if you're on my mailing list, you already know about this announcement. If you're not, essentially for season 2, I want to feature your voice on the show. And what that means is every week I will have one or two questions from you, from the audience, that I will answer on the show. I'm calling this segment Zen Moment. That's the name for now. Might change. I reserve the right to change the name. For now, Zen Moment is going to be about creating space to provide some clarity and peace around a couple of areas that you might be struggling with. So every week, I'll be emailing my mailing list and asking for you all to submit your questions to me. And then each week I will answer 1 to 2 questions on the show. So if you want to get your question answered, if you want to hear your answer, you've got to listen to the show. If I answer your question, I will email you back and say, hey, answered this question on episode and give you the number and you'll know. So that's what's coming up in season 2. I'm super, super excited. If this really picks up, then I may even create an entirely separate segment or show devoted to answers. But for now, we're just going to make it part of this. So that's part one of the big announcement. The second part is really a carryover from season 1. And that is, you know, in season 1, I primarily interviewed a lot of really successful online course creators. So we're talking about people who are making 6 figures, some people who are making 7 figures in sales with online courses. And what I started to do towards the end of season 1 was to highlight people who maybe weren't quite there yet, maybe weren't quite there, but they were still successful. So we're talking people who might have made $50,000 with their course or $75,000 in the 5 figures. Maybe even 25,000, maybe less than that, but still having some semblance of success. This season, I plan to highlight more mid-level online course creators who have had just mid-level success. They don't have these runaway success stories. They're still figuring things out, but they've got to a point where they have recurring revenue and they have been successful with their course. And they're continuing to grow and implement and learn. And most importantly, I think that they're very relatable stories. You know, understanding how people are setting aside time to get this stuff done. You know, while they might have another job or other commitments, family, all of that good stuff. So you can look for more, I don't want to say real world, right? Because that takes away from the runaway success stories. But just more, I got to think of a term for this. Like, I got to think of a term. Mid-range success stories. For lack of a, I promise I'll think of a term by the next episode. Or two. Okay, so you can, that's what you can expect in season two of the Zen Courses Show. Now, let's get started. It's time to kick off this episode. So in this episode, what I'm going to do is answer three or four questions from you to kick things off, to do things right, to give back for you being a loyal listener. Okay, the first question is from Kaylin. Kaylin asks a question that I get a lot of. I get a lot of this question. So I'm going to answer it. And I forgot something else that's new on the Zen Courses blog. I have added FAQ videos. So I get a lot of similar questions emailed to me. And so I thought it would be helpful to kind of answer those questions for anyone who might have them. So if you go to zencourses.co/FAQ, Frank Alpha question. I couldn't think of a Q word. Well, actually, I was thinking like quandary or query or... yeah, just question. zencourses.co/FAQ. And you will see the videos. And I'm going to add this one, but I'll answer it here now. Kaylin's question is, to build the list first or build the course first? Kind of to be or not to be, right? I don't know if you caught that. Anyway, Kaylin, this is a good question. It is a question that comes up for a lot of course creators who are starting out. And the answer is actually not a simple one. So let me start with what I recommend, okay? Because I think it's important to say that there are a lot of different ways. There's not one way to grow a business, okay? There's absolutely not. I've been running a consulting company for the past 4 years, almost five. And, you know, the way that I have grown my company, not only has it changed while I've been running it, but it's different from how someone else could do it. So same thing with courses. There's no right way. What I recommend though, things will be a lot easier for you if you build your list first. And the reason for that is because if you have an audience that you cultivate and you build a relationship with, and they become very warm to you, they're essentially going to be ready. They're going to be your first customers. And so, you know, for a lot of people listening, you know, marketing is the thing that a lot of people struggle with. Well, if you have an email list, and I get emails all the time from people who say, I don't have a list. I don't have a list. I don't have a list. Guys, I don't know how else to say this. You just have to start. You just have to start somewhere. So just set up even if it's a landing page, set it up and start growing your list. Start putting yourself out there. Listen, I know how hard it is. I struggle with it as well. I'm not a big salesy person. I'm not big when it comes to just like always yelling out what I'm doing, but you've got to put yourself out there and grow your list. Your list is essentially going to be, these are people who are opting in to what you have to offer. So the recommended method is to grow your list first, because you will then have, you know, even if it's just 100 people, those are 100 people who want to learn from you. So my recommendation is to build your list first, and then you can sell to your list. Now, for people who aren't comfortable creating their list, or maybe setting up their website is a barrier to creating their list, you can build your course first. However, it's going to be harder for you to build return customers. So when you have a list, you're not only able to have customers who have opted in to what you have to offer, and you can sell to them. But the thing is, you can sell to them again and again. They're going to have new needs. And if you can provide value and solutions for those needs, if you can answer questions, then you have repeat customers. That's why people emphasize, you know, that's why the success stories always have lists. If you do it the other way, and you totally can. So some examples of building your course first, people use marketplaces to do it this way. So they build a course and share it on a marketplace. That's one way you can build your course first. If you feel like you just suck at marketing and you just want to get the course done, you can totally do it. You know, when I interviewed the guys over at Learn Airbnb, they had their courses on Udemy, and then they got hip and they said, hey, we need to like have our courses on our own site, because why give other people money and not have control over our email list when we could do it ourselves? So then they put their courses on their own site. So the point of all of this is, there's no, you know, going back to square one, there's no one way. You can start either way. It's more advantageous to build your list first, but you can totally build your course first and then put it on marketplaces or put it out there. Just know that you're probably going to be swimming upstream trying to figure out how to find people to sell your course to. When if you do it the other way, you have people who are waiting for you to create something that they can buy. Which one sounds, you know, which one sounds better? Come on, be honest. Which one sounds better? Okay. I think we all know. All right. So that's question one. Thanks, Kaylin, for submitting that question. I hope that was helpful. Question two is coming from Brenda. Brenda asks, what are people using to compress course videos to make them smaller in size without compromising the quality of the video to upload to their courses? Brenda, this was an excellent question. You know, I have kind of had this issue a little bit, but it hasn't been big enough for me to really search out a solution. So your question prompted me to really seek out what people were using. And there's a couple of options for you. Now, I don't know what, you know, if you're using Mac or a PC, it doesn't really matter. But there's two options for compressing your videos. The first one is a piece of software that you can download. It's called Handbrake. You can get it at handbrake.fr. Again, that's handbrake.fr. F as in Frank, R as in radio. And that piece of software will essentially, you can upload your video to it or drag and drop your video over to it. And then you can decrease, you can tell it, you know, how much of a decrease you want it to do. So maybe like 15, 20%. And it'll just take off a little bit of quality, but not enough to notice, but enough to reduce the file size. So you can just drag it down to maybe about 20, reduce the file size in half, and then you obviously have smaller files that you can upload to your course. So Handbrake is one of the best solutions out there. I actually downloaded it myself and gave it a try. I didn't have any issues with it. So check out Handbrake. Again, that's handbrake.fr. That's the solution for your for compressing your course videos. Another thing you didn't mention, so I'm just going to bring it up, is if you are using a video hosting service for your videos. I don't know if you are or not. If you're not, some ways that you can get around, instead of uploading your actual video file, you can throw it into your hosting service. So whether you're using Wistia or Vimeo. Now, some of these video hosts are going to have limited bandwidth options, but some of them are going to be more than enough than you need. So if you've been uploading your videos directly, try using a host instead. So I use Wistia. I love Wistia. Pretty easy to use. They have great education on how to make better videos. And I think they give you 200 gigabytes of bandwidth per month. So that's a great start. I know Vimeo is much less. Vimeo is great because it has a lot of privacy features and all of that good stuff on their plans. But their bandwidth is much smaller. So I'm looking at their homepage right now, or their pricing page. Vimeo Plus gives you 5 gigabytes per week. Wistia gives you 200 gigabytes per month. So, you know, you can kind of play around with that. You do have unlimited bandwidth in the Vimeo player. So, you know, I would say if you are uploading your videos directly to your course platform, try throwing them in a player like Vimeo or Wistia so that you can get more bang for your buck. The other solution is to use Handbrake to compress your videos and cut them in size. Okay? So I hope that answers your question, Brenda. If not, feel free to reach out to me and I will answer another question. Okay, now we have a question from Stefan. Stefan asks a great question. So his question is, how do I find and attract people to actually buy my course? And then he's got a second part to that question where he says, what if I don't have time or much time to promote my course because it takes away time and revenue from my bill-paying freelance business? So we're going to address the first part of the question right now, and that is, or the first question, and that is, how do I find and attract people to actually buy my course? This is a great question. I get this question a lot. Essentially, when it comes to finding people to buy your course, finding customers, that's what this is really about. Finding customers comes down to knowing your audience. So, you know, taking some time to really narrow down who you're teaching for. So I'm assuming that you've done that, Stefan, and you know who your course is for. That gets back to niche or niche, whatever you want to call it, like knowing your niche. Yeah, knowing your people. Once you know your people, then it's just a matter of researching to figure out where they hang out. So that's the second step. It's 3 steps to this. Research and figure out where they hang out. So if you're creating a course on photography, then you can research. I would personally research. There's certain places to look for. So number one, other blogs on photography. That is great for kind of reading the comments and figuring out what people are talking about. And what I like to do is to answer some questions in the comments, although that's not super, the ROI for that isn't super high. But what you can do is kind of start to click on people's profiles and go back and see like who they are and what they're working on and figure out where they're hanging out, what other blogs they're commenting on. So sometimes if a blog has the Discuss plugin for comments, it allows you to see where other people have commented. And that is a good way to figure out where people are hanging out on your topic. So blogs, that's one place. The second place that I like to go to is, believe it or not, Facebook. Facebook has a lot of great groups. And so you can search for groups in your topic. And then you just have like hundreds of people a lot of times who are interested in what you're teaching about. And then the other thing is to look for membership sites, forums, sites like that, you know, where people, there's a closed community of people who are interested in a particular topic. So blogs, Facebook, membership sites, and forums. So that's the second step. Figure out where your people are hanging out. And then the last step is to offer value. So it's not advisable to just go to those places and start like spamming people. Oh, I forgot. Product Hunt. Product Hunt is another great place, especially if you're creating products like a course, or if you are kind of technical. Product Hunt is great for telling people about the products that you have, and you can integrate it with your social media and all of that good stuff. So it's kind of a best kept secret. Nathan Barry is a big advocate for using Product Hunt to promote courses. So definitely check out Product Hunt if you're not familiar. But anyway, getting back to it, it's not enough to just go to these communities and these places where your audience hangs out and kind of spam them and tell them what you're creating. I've certainly been guilty of just kind of doing that and then leaving. But what's better, and what I really enjoy doing, is getting to know people and offering value, right? So answering questions and being helpful and showing your expertise. And people are going to click back and see who you are and what you work on. So they're going to click on your profile. They're going to go to your site. They're going to see your course or get on your mailing list. Hint, hint. So if you don't have a mailing list, you know, you want to make sure you have one before you start engaging with people. Those are some great ways. Those are basically the three steps. So, you know, define your audience, figure out where they hang out, go there and offer value. And you will start to get people who will look to see what you're doing, sign up on your mailing list, and then you have a list of customers. Okay, so that's the first part to your question, Stefan. Now, the second part, what to do if you don't have much time. Listen, I totally understand this struggle. So what I recommend for that, what's worked for me, is first and foremost to take some time to think about the strategy behind things. So what I mean by that, let me just break it down. I don't know about you, Stefan, but for me, if I just go in and just start something, sooner or later, I start feeling like I don't have any direction, and it just starts to feel like, what am I doing? So when time is at a premium, I think it's important to really sit down and figure out what you can invest in and when, and create a schedule for it. So I learned this lesson the hard way with Zen courses, actually. When I started, it was just a hobby. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And ultimately, I had to get help from a virtual assistant. And we put together a strategy so that I would know what I was creating, when, and why. So I would say, figure out which strategies you want to do to connect with people who are having a problem that your course solves. And then create a schedule for when you're going to do those. Now, understand that this is probably going to take longer than you want it to. Just going to be completely honest. It takes a while. But that's okay. The important part is to achieve steady, consistent progress. So figure out what you can do and schedule it. Everything goes on my calendar. That's the only way I can manage anything. So if you're not structuring things in that way, I would encourage you to go ahead and give that a shot. Okay, so we answered three questions. If you want to submit your question for next week's show, just go to zencourses.co, zencourses.co/newsletter, sign up for the mailing list, and shoot me an email. You'll get a confirmation email. Hit reply on that, shoot me an email, and tell me what you're struggling with. Tell me what question you want me to answer. Like I said, every week, starting next week, I will be answering 1 to 2 questions at the end of each interview. All right, guys, this has been the Zen Courses Show. I am Janelle Allen, and I will see you next time.